All right, Shavuos, we're going to continue this week in Resh Pei Beis, in Maimer Resh Pei Beis. Remember, again, this is the last Maimer in the first chelek of Likutei Moharan. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, because I think this may be now our fourth or fifth week on this particular Maimer. So remember, again, Rabbi Nachman here is espousing what is perhaps one of the cornerstone concepts in his hashkafa. When I say his hashkafa, you know, every Rebbe has his own hashkafa. No, I shouldn't say that. That's not true. Not his own hashkafa. Every Rebbe has his own nuance within hashkafa. There's a certain hashkafa, and those hashkafas are within the framework of the Torah. And there's a spectrum. And for example, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. So Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev was known as, he had a title, Sanigoren Shel Yisrael. He was known as the defender of Klal Yisrael. Because Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev cannot see anything negative in a fellow Jew. There was no such thing. I'll give you just a raya to this. And this actually is just an incredible thing. It's a Gilgal. So what happens? So the Rebbe is like this. Nice to see you. So the Rebbe is like this. The Gemara says, here, come to this room. The Gemara says, Dor ha-midbar, ein lehem chelik li'olam haba. Right, so the generation of the desert, they have no portion in the world to come. So remember, how do we normally understand that concept? So it's very simple. What's the pshat? The pshat is Dor HaMidbar were mamish avaryonim. Right, they committed terrible sins. They complained by Yamsuf. They meraglim, and of course again chayta eagle, sin of the golden calf. So pashat pshat is Dor HaMidbar have no chelik in olam haba. Very simply, they lost that portion because at the end of the day they just behaved in such an inappropriate fashion. So listen to how the Rebbe understands those words. The Levi Yitzchak says, no. Tell you what the pshat is. The pshat is what's olam haba? What's olam haba? So the Levi Yitzchak quotes the Rambam. Now you have to understand something. It's not often that you'll see in a sefer of Chassidus according to the Rambam. Right, so why does Rav Levi Yitzchak quote a Rambam? Because you have to understand Rav Levi Yitzchak did not grow up a chassid. Rav Levi Yitzchak, again, grew up a misnagid, and was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He married, I forgot the name of his, he married a very wealthy businessman he married the daughter of a very wealthy businessman. No, I guess he married the businessman. I mean, so he married the daughter. He married into the biz, right? So he was learning. But he married a very wealthy individual, and again, at some point in time, he gets caught up with the Magid of Mezrich. That's what ends up happening. You know, there's an incredible ma'isa, Rav Levi Yitzchak. Before he became a chassid, he was appointed the Rav of the city of Pinsk. So Pinsk was a major community. So when he joined Chassidus, so his balabatim were very unhappy with him. This is a ma'amis, I'll tell you, a ma'isa shahaya kachaya. Rav Levi Yitzchak one time went for Shabbos to spend the Mezrich with his Rebbe, with the Magid, and the Balabatim so despised him. Can you imagine? This is Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. So what did they do while he was away? His wife and his children were still home. They packed up all of his belongings. They put the belongings and his family on a manure wagon, drove them to the outskirts of town, and left them there. I'll tell you, there's an incredible yisod. You have to understand, I think I've said this before in this context. Great people generally become great people when they're dead. Right? You see, the chiluk is, dead people are Judaica. So that's why you go to a levaya. So what happens when they take out the arm from a levaya? Right? Everybody stands up. So meanwhile, when the guy was alive, Mamish, no one gave him the time of day. When now he's at his levaya, he's being taken out in the box, everybody stands up. You know, so great people only really become really great when they're dead. That's why I said to Moshe, you don't have to go to Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. See, Moshe lo kam b'yisod k'moshe od, and yet we see how is Moshe Rabbeinu treated during his lifetime? Like garbage. Mamish like garbage. Like, and that's, you don't understand. You learn Chumash, that's not an exaggeration. So the Rebbe says like this, coming back. So Rav Levi says, what's the pshat? There are midbar elim chal olam ha. So he says, what's olam ha? Because the Rambam says that olam ha is tzadikim yoshvim, so the tzaddikim sit, their crowns of spirituality are on their head, and they derive benefit from the Shechina. Olam Haba is living life in close proximity to the Shechina. You see, the greatest challenge of life in this world is richuk, is that sometimes we just don't feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I was talking a little bit, we have another shir in the Sefer Bilvavi, and I was talking about this a little bit the other night, where we often think that our job is to believe in Hashem. But the truth is, our avoda really is to live with Hashem. You hear that distinction? You could believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but lav dafka, you're living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could believe in God, I believe in a lot of things, I believe in gravity also, but at the end of the day, gravity, I don't think about gravity all the time. Gravity, it has an impact on me every single moment, but it's not front and center of my life. You could believe in God and be an incredible mammon. I have incredible belief, but I'm not living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal, to live with Hashem. Says the Levi Yitzchak, that's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is you're constantly in the presence of the Ribono Shalom. So listen to what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, that's the Pshat in the Gemara. Get ready for this. Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lam Chelek Li Olam Haba means that what? That, let me just see. So what does it mean? Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lam Chelek Li Olam Haba. Can just mamash the best part. So right, Ein Lechel means that what? That for the rest of us, in order to really feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a real ongoing closeness, we have to wait till we get to Olam Haba. And then what? But yet, Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lechel Olam Haba means they didn't have to wait to have a portion in Olam Haba to feel a dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because they had an Olam Hazeh. They had him all the time. You hear that, Vart? It doesn't mean chasam that they forfeited their portion of the world to come. Levi Yitzchak can't be masik that. It's impossible. It's impossible that a Jew would ever do something that would forfeit his portion of the world to come. Elamai, what it means is they don't have to wait to get to Olam Haba to experience Olam Haba. Suppose I say that, Vart, over to someone, and what are they going to tell you? Zalman's already saying it to me with his eyes, right? So what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you, that's awesome. They're going to tell you, wow, that's a beautiful, like, Chassidish Shtekel Torah. That's great. Which is another way of saying, like, nice Vart, but it's not rooted in any kind of reality. But say, now, you don't have to like the Vart, but it tells you something about the author. It tells you something that, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, you have to understand something. When Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said that, it's not the Pshat, that, like, it's 2 hours before Shabbos, and he's wondering to himself, like, what am I going to say tonight at the table? You know, Mrs. Levi Yitzchak Abraditcha, the Rebbe is going to ask me for a vart. You know, what am I going to say? So he pulls out a chumash and tries to, you know, twist a couple things around. When Rabbi Levi Yitzchak looked at the Gemara, that's what he saw. It's not the Pshat, he wasn't twisting things around to get something out of it. That is literally what he saw actually in the words. I was like, can you imagine that for a moment? Can you imagine looking at the Torah? Can you imagine looking at things and actually being so infused and suffused with Avas Yisrael that literally when you see a Gemara like that, it's impossible for you to interpret it kipshuto. It's impossible for you to say to yourself that a Jew, that a Yid wouldn't have a chelek at all. Impossible. Elamai, it has to be what? It has to be that at the end of the day, it must mean they had their Olam Haba while still living in Olam Hazeh. So why am I sharing this with you? Because that was Rabbi Yitzchak, right? Rabbi Yitzchak's idea, if you asked him like his fundamental life philosophy or his fundamental philosophy in Yiddishkeit, it would be the good in every Jew. Every Jew has good, every Jew has holiness, every Jew has specialness. No matter who they are, and I could give you, we could do, maybe after we finish Likutei Moharan, I mean at this rate it's going to be a little while, but maybe we'll do Kiddush HaSlevi next, maybe we'll switch off a little bit. I always have the Yetzirah to go back to Kiddush HaSlevi, because it's mamish my favorite sefer. I'm sorry? I mean, it's not my only Yetzirah, right? But out of all the ones that I like to talk about in public, that's the one I will...
Why don't we see...
No, I'm saying because you normally see the Rambam quoted, because the Rambam is not a book of Musa. Mishneh Torah is a book of Halacha. So I'm just saying generally again, you know, you open up Rav Chaim, you're going to see a Rambam. Generally, you open up a Baal Shem Tov Al HaTorah, you open up Likutei Moharan, you're not going to see Rambams. That's why I'm mentioning this to you, because Rav Levi Yitzchak, Rabbi Nachman was also an incredible Talmud Chacham. But very different. You know, again, all right, we have to finish this memory today, but I'll just tell you this. You know, Rabbi Nachman's style of learning. I don't know if I mention some of these things, just stop me. Rabbi Nachman had a very interesting style of learning. What was his style of learning? He didn't really believe in Iyun. He believed in Bikias. He felt that there's just the concept of keeping up a pace in learning. Go acquire more, learn more. Now listen to this. In Rabbi Nachman's like hashkafa of learning, if you got to a sugya that you couldn't understand, he didn't feel that a person should spend a lot of time on it. Rather, he said, just get through it, and you know what? The next machzer, the next time you come around, you'll understand it a little bit better. But you also have to understand something. He's also an incredible. Rabbi Nachman himself, you should know, went through Shulchan Aruch, entire Shulchan Aruch, every month. This was his hashkafa. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak has his hashkafa about the greatness of a Jew. So what's Rabbi, if I were to ask you again, we haven't been learning the Likutei Maharan so long. I don't know, Yonah, how long have we had this year for already now? This must be 6 months, no? Maybe longer? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go back. So, 6 years. So remember again, we haven't seen so much Rabbi Nachman, but if I were to ask you, what's Rabbi Nachman's Hashkafas HaChaim? Remember, you know it. You know it because perhaps it's the most famous memra of Rabbi Nachman, which is Mitzvah Gedola Lihios B'Simcha Tamid. But remember again, that concept, as I said to you last week, Rabbi Nachman never in a million years thought that that would mean that there's a bunch of guys with big white yarmulkes and long pants dancing on top of a van with music. That's not what he thought. Again, I don't think he frowns on that, but that's not what he had in mind. Because remember, Rabbi Nachman himself was a person who struggled a lot with personal happiness. He struggled a lot with Mara Shechora, with sadness, with depression, but constantly being down on shortcomings, constantly being down on faults and on averos. What Rabbi Nachman understood, Mitzvah Gedolios Simcha Tamid means what? Always live a life of meaning. And in this context, what it also means is find the good in yourself. So this is why this is such an important memory. Because remember, what have we learned over the last couple of weeks? That Rabbi Nachman told us, number one, Od Ma'at Ve'ein Rasha. You have to find the good in every single person. You have to find the good. Every single person, doesn't matter how big of a Rasha he or she may be, there's always Od Ma'at. There's always a little bit more to that individual, Ve'ein Rasha. And they're not, we'll say, it's such an incredibly important idea. Every single person has good within them. You just sometimes have some people, you know, they wear their good on their sleeve. You can see it when you look at them. Other people, that good is obscured by so many layers of just, for lack of a better term, ichiness. But you just have to dig through it and you'll find it. But says the Rebbe, if it's true with others, it's also true with ourselves. That's what? That I have to also find the good in me. No matter how many averos I've done, no matter how much I've messed up in life, there is always some good. Remember again, the Rebbe has taught us that beautiful idea, Azamar Lelokai, I'm going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when? Ba'odi. How did the Rebbe translate Ba'odi? Ba'od Shebi, or Ba'od Sheli, with the little bit of good, I'm going to sing to God, because I recognize that no matter how much I have messed up in life, and sometimes we mess up very big, but no matter how much I mess up, there's always OD. There's always a little bit left that's good. There's always a little bit left that's not tarnished. So with that, we'll say, let's pick up and let's finish up this memra. So we left off, I think, last week, Vidda, right? I think the last paragraph on page Kuf Chaf, Kuf Chaf Aleph. Does that make sense, Vidda? Yeah, good. Sorry, thank you for me. Vidda. Shemishi Yachal Lasos Elu HaNigudim. Remember again, so just to catch, so last paragraph on page, I guess it's page Kuf, it's actually Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. It's the page before, no, it's this one here, Vidda. I'm sorry, I should have lettered them. So remember again, the other thing the Rebbe said was what? Was that in life, remember again, you have a choice. What's your choice? You could sing or you could sigh. Right? It's the same koach. It's the same exhaling. It's the same exhaling of breath from inside. You have a choice in life. You could sing or you could sigh. You could go in and krachts about everything that's wrong, or you could figure out how to sing about that which is good. Those notes, says the Rebbe, remember, create your life nigun. Create the song of life, and it's those notes, it's that nigun, that's what? That ultimately turns into tefillah. So good, the Rebbe writes, Vida, Shemishi Yachal La'asos Elo HaNigunim. Those who are able to put together the nigunim in life. Dahainu, Lilakeit HaNekudos Tovos, Shenimtza B'chol Echad Mi Yisrael. It's such a beautiful idea. Listen to this, just listen to this image. How do you make a nigun in life? Right? How do you sing in life? So we'll say, you know what the chapter, remember, what's a nigun? So a nigun is a compilation of musical notes. Does that make sense? Compilation of musical notes? Strung together. Good. Strung together. Notes that are strung together. Good? Okay. So what happens? So where do the notes come from? So this is something amazing. Every single time you see something good in another person, that's a note. Can you imagine? You see how beautiful that is? Every single time you see something good in another person, you pluck from that person one note of the nigun. Now, both say, now what's one note of a nigun? What's one note of a nigun? Nothing. Nothing by itself. Nothing by itself. But look at this. He says, and those notes, my job in life is to find those notes even in the sinners, even in the Poshe Yisrael, who and they both say, listen to this, if you're able to find the notes by seeing the good in every person. Well, see, understand what he's saying, the Rebbe is saying, you want to create a niggun in life? The niggun only comes if I see the good in you, and you see the good in me, and we collect notes from each other, and I'm able to string the notes all together, that creates a niggun. Yes.
Harmony.
What? I'm sorry? Harmony. It creates a harmony, 100%. So listen to this, remember, what happens after niggun? Niggun, enough niggunim strung together, says the Rebbe, translating to what? Tefillah. Right? So, tefillah, listen to this. If you're able to find the notes in seeing the good in others, you're able to put them together into a nigun, and then you're able to make tfilos, then hu yachol lehispalef nei amud. Oh, did we do this last week? Did we read this? We did, right? Okay, so I think we're actually picking up on page Kuf Chaf Beis. Oh, good. Mamish, look at this. We're so far ahead. Right, good. So look at the last paragraph. Vida, the second to last paragraph on the right hand side. So, most remember again, so just to review quickly, so that's where the Rebbe was talking about this idea of becoming a Baal Tefillah. You could only become a Shliach Tzibor if what? You could only become a Shliach Tzibor. So, this is an incredible Yisod. This, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but you know, the halacha is that a Shliach Tzibor has to be Mu'urav, has to be beloved by the Kehila. The Kehila is actually two halachas. A Rav has to be beloved, and the Shliach Tzibor has to be beloved. And you'll see what... I'm sorry? I didn't mention last week. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of feeling out the crowd a little bit. You know, so listen to this. So this idea over here is that a Shliach Tzibor has to be beloved. Why? He has to be beloved because... Well, it's not why, but it's a de facto reality. Because to be the Shliach Tzibor, you have to be able to string together the notes to make the niggun to create the tefillah. And the only way to string together the notes to create the niggun to make the tefillah is how? Is if you see the good in every single person. Remember, says Rabbi Nachman, if you can't see the good in every single person that is within that shul, don't daven for the amud. For the very simple... I'm saying it's actually interesting. The lashon of the Gemara is that the Gemara Maseches Brachos talks about how does a shliach tzibur know if his tefillah is effective? So obviously the simple answer to that question is
who sings with him.
Okay, it could be who sings with him, but it's also simple answer is you don't. You don't know if your tefillah is effective. But the Gemara says, interesting, im tefilaso shegura b'fiv. If the words come out, if the nigunim come out with. If they come out in the right way, whatever, it's not the right term, if they come out, not effortlessly, but if they come out smoothly, we'll call it, then if it's shkura b'fev, that's a simen that tfiloso niskabel. Rabbi Nachman says the only way to do that, the only way to sing properly, to daven properly, is if you're picking up the notes from the kehila. So if I pick up the note because I see the good in that one, I pick up the note because I see the good in that one, I string together those notes, that ultimately creates the tefillah. And look what he says, v'da, sh'yesh b'chol dar v'dar roa. I'll say every generation has a roa, every generation has a shepherd. V'hu b'chinas Moshe. Every generation has a shepherd, and that shepherd is b'chinas, is in the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll say, now what was unique about Moshe Rabbeinu? Shehu raya mehemno. We'll say, this is actually quoting the Zohar. So the Zohar, it's amazing. The Zohar doesn't describe Moshe Rabbeinu as the teacher of Torah. The Zohar doesn't describe Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately as the individual who spent 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai, or split the Yam Suf, or went to war with Sichon and Og. Rather, it refers to him as a trusted shepherd. He was a trusted shepherd. V'zeh haroeh osa mishkan. And it's only that shepherd who's able to make a mishkan. I will say, before we get into this, so just take one step back with this. The notion that Moshe Rabbeinu, or also, what does it mean? What does it mean that Moshe, why does the Zohar refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as the Raya Mehemna? What's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why is, out of all the things that you could describe Moshe Rabbeinu, why is he called the shepherd? First of all, he was a shepherd. All right, that's number one. He was, it's actually descriptive. Why else?
A caretaker and a guardian.
A caretaker and a guardian, good. Why else? So listen to this. It's a famous medrash. The medrash says that the medrash right before the episode with the sneh. So the medrash said that Moshe Rabbeinu is shepherding his father-in-law's flock, right? It's Yisro's flock. And what happens? One of the sheep ran away, right? One of the sheep ran away. So what happens? The sheep breaks away from the flock, goes ahead and runs over to the stream and begins to drink. So Moshe Rabbeinu runs after the sheep, and the Medrash says something amazing. The Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the sheep, little sheep, I didn't know how thirsty you were, I'm sorry, and now you must be so tired because you ran away. And with that, he carried the sheep, and he carried it back to the flock. So the Medrash writes that the Ribono Sholem, when he was looking at this, says, if a man like this can have such compassion for his sheep, then he could have such compassion for my children. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh comments on that Medrash, says, what's the pshat? I mean, what does this mean? So Baal Shem Tov makes an amazing observation. The Baal Shem Tov says that everybody thinks that the message of that Medrash is Moshe Rabbeinu's empathy. Look how much he cared even for his sheep. That's not it. That's part of it. Baal Shem Tov says like this. When that sheep ran away, so imagine for a second you're the shepherd. The sheep runs away. If you were to label the sheep at that moment, what would you do? What would you call the sheep?
An annoyance.
Right? Right. A rebel. A rebel. An annoyance. Bad sheep. Bad sheep. Right? A rebellious sheep. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, not just the Pshat, the Moshe Rabbeinu says the sheep, you must be tired, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the sheep not for being rebellious, but for just being thirsty. Meaning, people do bad stuff all the time. But the truth is, very often, if you believe that people are good at their core, when people do bad things, there's usually something behind it. We'll say, we know this from just life. You know, when you see people who are just nasty, or people who are ba'alei lashon hara, or people who are ba'alei kas, so if you take a step back, the reaction to people like that is nebuch. Nebuch, like, what are you unhappy about? Because the truth is, happy people don't speak lashon hara. Happy people don't really get, you know, nostril flaring mad. Happy people don't really have problems with their shalom bias. So if stuff is going on in someone's life and they're acting out in a negative way, so often the reaction is, oh, they're rebellious, they're this, they're that, they're terrible, they have arayonim. But really the approach is, what's wrong? What's wrong? And the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that when that little sheep ran away, everybody else was calling it, you know, it's the off the derech sheep, right? It's the ADD sheep, right? It's the sheep that can't sit still. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe it's just thirsty. Maybe it's not bad. Okay, I'd rather you stay with the flock. Still, you got to stay with the flock. But now that you're breaking away, it's not because you're bad. It's just because there's something else going on. In other words, that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he was able to see the good, even in what? Even in the negative. He was able to see the od ma'at ve'in rasha. He was able to take the notes. And I will say, if you think about it, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do with us for 40 years? What did he do with us? Every single time the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to destroy us, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Right? He says, if you kill them, mechenina mesifracha. You know what? It's God. It's an all or nothing deal. And now, the godless of that is, lest you think it's because Moshe Rabbeinu had an easy time with us. As I said before, he didn't have an easy time with us. I thought, you know, the Gemara discusses, you know, we'll say, I want to hear something amazing. The Medrash discusses that when they were building the Mishkan, the Medrash says, you know, they accused Moshe Rabbeinu of embezzling. You know what the Medrash says? The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu was walking back to his tent, and they say, you know what? Moshe looks like he put on a little bit of weight. Right? Why is he putting on a little bit of weight? It must be that he's skimming a little bit off the top of the collection of the Mishkan, and he's fattening himself up at our expense. When Moshe Rabbeinu didn't live with his wife, so the people, what did the people used to say? They used to say, impossible for a man to be celibate like that. It must be that he's living with other people's wives. Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine people speaking like that? So of course we can imagine it because it's the way people are. So lest you think that Moshe Rabbeinu loved them or was able to do it because they always treated him nicely, it's not true. They mistreated him terribly. But despite all of that, he was able to find the notes. he was able to find the musical, he was able to find the good in them, and he was able to always defend them. So says Rabbi Nachman, every generation has a Raya Mehemna. Every generation has to have a trusted shepherd, and that trusted shepherd makes a Mishkan. Vida. Let's just read this paragraph, and then, all right, maybe we'll end up spending one more week on this memra. But listen, and we won't review as much next week. So the Rabbi Nachman says, V'zehara osa mishkan, v'da. So this Roah, what's the Roah's job? The Roah's job is to make a mishkan. And listen, I will see what that means in just a moment. V'da. Shetinokos shabes rabon mekablin hevel pihen she'in bochet mezeh ha-mishkan. Alkein hatino kishemaschil v'kros u'likarnis batora. Who maschil min vayikra el Moshe shu alif zira ki vayikra medaber migemar hakamas hamishkan. So we'll say. So now Rabbi Nachman is going to introduce us to an idea that Emir Hashem we're going to really focus on much more next week. But the Rebbe says like this: the job of a tzaddik is to be a raya mehemna, to be a trusted shepherd. To be a trusted shepherd means you internalize the lessons we learned before, you always see the good in the other. The raya mehemna, he creates the mishkan. So you already see, by the way, this power of the mishkan, even without knowing what the Rebbe is talking about. But remember, one thing you already see is what? You see a progression. Because remember, again, the first thing we created in this memra was what? Was a nigun. The nigun then creates what? Tefillah. And now we're going to see is tefillah creates what? Tefillah creates a mishkan. So we'll say this is the bilvavi mishkan evne. We're going to see the ability to create incredible things in life, and it all begins with the ability just simply to see the good in others, see the good in ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's just finish off this paragraph. And therefore, again, he says, we know that tinoko shel beis rabban. But it is an incredible yisod also. Children, tinoko shel beis rabban, mekablim hevel pihem she'in bochet mizah mishkan. But say the Gemara says that in olam miskayim. The world only exists how? Literally through the breath, the Torah of children. I will say, what's the pshat with that? Because you know, adults, when we learn, bless you, when we learn Torah, so it's not pure. Right? Why is it not pure? Because the truth is, we don't always learn Torah for all the right reasons. Sometimes it's for kavod, sometimes it's just for knowledge, sometimes it's to not have to help on Thursday night with anything in the house. You know, whatever it is, everybody has their motivations for different things. But the idea over here is children, their Torah is pure. The Rebbe suggests that the children receive their Hevel Pihen through the Mishkan created by the Raya Mehemna. We'll define that in just a moment. The Alkinatinok, Kishemaschel Likros Ulikanis Betorah. Therefore, when a child begins to learn, Rebbe will say, remember again, Dori Doris, Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, is where does a child begin to learn Chumash from? I don't know if this is actually still done today in all yeshivas, but in many yeshivas it's still done. Where does a child begin with? Vayikra, which I will say, of course, is the most counterintuitive place to begin to learn Chumash from, because the truth is, it is the Chumash generally when even we adults begin to lose interest. The stories, right? No more stories, right? We pick up with stories again about Midbar, but Vayikra has virtually no stories. It's all Karbanos. But why do we begin with Vayikra? Shu Aleph Zira, because remember, the Aleph in Vayikra is a small Aleph. Ki Vayikra Midaber Migmar Hakamas HaMishkan. Because remember again, at the end of Sefer Shmos, and the other, Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudei, are all of the parshios of the Mishkan. So Vayikra, the small Aleph, is the end of the creation of the Mishkan, and ultimately the beginning of the use of the Mishkan. She'az, Kirao Hashem Yisparach, Vehischil Daber Imo Me'a Mishkan. It's in the beginning of Vayikra when HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Mishkan. So let's remember again, how does Parashas Pekudei begin? And, excuse me, remember, how does Chumash Mos end? The Anan, the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, descends upon the Ohel, and Moshe Rabbeinu in that moment, remember, can't enter in. Vayikra begins with God speaking to Moshe, Mitocha Ohel. Al Kain, Misham Maschilin Hatinokos, Kimisham Mekablin Hevel Pihem. So that's why children begin with the Hakamas HaMishkan. They begin with the Chumash about the Mishkan, because that's where they get the purity of their breath, the purity of their Torah. Visham Maschilin Likros, Uli Karnis Besochatar. So we'll say, what is the Rebbe saying? So understand what the Rebbe is telling us. What the Rebbe is saying is like this. if the Raya Mehemna, the Raya Mehemna, his job, so all of us, we know our job. My job, I have to see the good in the other, I have to see the good in myself. So what happens? Fine. So through that, I create my Nigin. Through my Nigin, I create my Tefillah. What's the job of the leaders of Klal Yisrael? The job of the leaders is, they have a much harder job, because they have to see the good in everyone. You see, we'll say, all of us know a limited pool of people. The assumption is that the Raya Mehemna, the trusted shepherd, he knows everyone. And he knows everyone's business also. But yet, despite all of that, he has to see the good in him. So we'll say, when the Raya Mehemna, who sees sometimes the worst of human behavior, who sometimes sees, because we'll say, we know how it is, that for whatever reason, sometimes people do things to leadership that's just, you look at Moshe Rabbeinu and your heart breaks for the life that he led. But the Raya Mehemna is still able to go ahead and see the good in everyone. So we'll say, what does he create? He doesn't create a Nigin. And he doesn't create a Tefillah. What does he create? He creates a Mishkan. Rabbi said, the Mishkan represents the spiritual edifice, the spiritual building that houses all of the positivity generated by the trusted shepherd, the leader of Klal Yisrael, when he sees the good in everyone else. And Rabbi said, listen to this. So what is Rabbi Nachman saying? It's from that Mishkan that the Raya Mehemna built, that what? That the children receive their purity, receive their... What's the pshat? The pshat is, I think the pshat is, it's a trickle-down effect. See, everything starts at the top. If the Raya Mehemna, the trusted shepherd of Klal Yisrael, sees the good in every single person, every single, no exceptions, not the people who dress like him, look like him, daven like him, observe like him, but the leader of Klal Yisrael sees the good in every single person. That generates so much beautiful positive energy. So many nigunim, so many tefillos, that it creates a mishkan. People say that holiness within Klal Yisrael trickles down. But the amazing part is, who is most receptive to it? People say, who are the beneficiaries of that seeing the good in the other? It's children. Why? Why? Because children, by definition, are innocent. And what's even best is, and I will say, I think all of us lament a little bit of this loss as we get older. You know, what's the best part about spending time with children? It's not just that they're innocent. I find the best part is they're not cynical. There's no cynicism. They're not sarcastic. They're not jaded. They're just happy. They're just happy. Also, isn't it... If a person has the opportunity to hear like a child say, ever hear like your child give over like a vart, like a medrash? And you know, sometimes you see this depending. So sometimes adults can be very cynical. So they'll hear a medrash and they're rolling their eyes. It's ridiculous. Whatever that means. And the kid, mamish, is like, they can't even contain themselves. They're so excited that Bas Paro's arm stretched out. She's like Plastic Woman. Mamish, she's like going out 50 yards. And the father's saying like, really? Like, I'm paying for this? Like this? No, man, I'm sorry. Right, you know, this mamish, like this is like really, like you this is what you're teaching my kid, like, and mamish, she's got to color it in on, you know, on Sunday, you got to put about what color should we make Bas Paro's 20-foot arm. And also, see, the amazing part is the adults are saying, come on, really, like, I don't know what Chazal meant, but her arm didn't, and the kids are so excited, because that's what children have. That's, you know, also, you know, the Shinah, the Baal Shem Tov says, and we're going to stop, the Baal Shem Tov says, that's the pshat, Nar Hayisi Vegam Zakanti. The Baal Shem Tov says that our goal in life is to be a Nar even when you get old. Nar Hayisi. I was a child, but I'm still a child. Gam Zakanti. Even when I got old, I always maintained that youthful disposition. I tried to the best of my ability not to be jaded, not to be cynical, not to be sarcastic. I tried to keep that youthful disposition. So Rabbi Nachman says, and here's what's something amazing, is that when the Raya Mehemna, when the trusted shepherd, he's able to love every single Jew and see the good in every single Jew, he creates that Mishkan. And there's a trickle-down effect. That positivity trickles down into the ranks of Klal Yisrael. But Rabbi says, we're going to see next week, here's the problem. Often that positivity, although it trickles down, it bypasses many people. Why? Because they're not receptive to the positivity. Because they're cynical, because they're jaded, because they're sarcastic. So who does all the positivity truly trickle down to? To the children. To the Tinokos Shabbos Rabban. to the children. It enhances their purity. So when the Raya Mehemna sees the good in every single person to such a degree that he creates a Mishkan, the power of that Mishkan trickles down ultimately to the children, and then it's the amplified holiness of the children that sustains the world for the rest of us. All right, we'll stop over here. Next week will mamish be the last week on Resh Pei Beis. We really will finish it.
Fair to say that as opposed to the avodah to see the positive evil, it's to not accept the negative.
100%. I would say like this. I would say that the avodah is to step number one is don't accept. To not accept the negative, you may be fooling yourself. Because Rabbi Nachman is not saying people don't have negative traits. They do. The first step of the avodah is don't define people exclusively by their negative traits. You could accept the fact that I have negative traits. But your avodah is find something positive in me. Find something positive. And then once you find something positive, oh, you just got a note for your negative.
If I measure a minute, you can say that the reason why you were able to see what you saw was because calling branding that person a rebel wasn't
right.
That's
right.
Therefore, Mamela, he saw
the good. 100%.
You shouldn't have been rebel.
That wasn't an option. Right. It's 100%. First, I have to admit, because sometimes the first thing we see about people is something negative. So just accept the fact that it's not all negative. And once I have that mindset, it's true. Once you accept the fact that there must be something good, then by definition, you're going to find something. You know, the Bala Tanya says, I think we might have even done this in the Tanya Shir years ago. The Bala Tanya says, "Hevi mi talmid of Sha'aron." The pasuk in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, be of a student of Aaron. Excuse me. Ohev shalom, rodev shalom. Ohev esabrios umekarvin laTorah. Right. So love peace, pursue peace, love brios. Now, what does brios literally mean? Creations. So the Bala Tanya says, "Why?" This is the statement of Hillel. He says, "Why does Hillel use a lashon of brios?" Bria is like the lowest name that you could use for human beings, right? Adam, Enosh, like Bria, because remember the word Bria doesn't even just mean people. Everything is a plant. Anything that's alive is called a Bria. Even things that are not alive are called a Bria. So the Baal Tanya says something amazing. Along the same lines, Rabbi Nachman, the Baal Tanya says you have to find something. If you want to be a disciple of Aaron, you have to find something positive in every person. And he says something amazing. He says for some people, the only redeeming characteristic they have is that they walk on 2 feet. Right? Is that they're alive, that they're not dead. Right? There are some people like that. Says the Baal Tanya, there are some people where, you know, you could look and you could try to find something positive. And the only thing I could come up with was, well, at least he's not a horse. You know, at least he's not a horse. But also, you understand the godless and that also, you understand what that how that conditions your mind. Yeah, there are some people, also where you could go through this exercise, Rabbi Nachman, and you know what? There might be some people, I just can't find the note. I just can't find anything redeeming. You know what? He's a Bria. See, right? It's conditioning. So if I condition myself to say, no matter how negative the person looks to me, there's got to be good. Even if I can't see it, it has to be there. It's a different way to view. The godless is, it's a different way to view people. But really what it comes down to, says the Rebbe, is it's a different way to view myself. And by definition, by extension, it's a different way to view the world.
Moshe is the one who says Russia won't back as Rebbe. He immediately identifies as Russian, which is almost like counter to what
he's saying. Wait, but. So I'll tell you like this. I'll give you an answer to that. Rabbi Tursky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tursky has a great line. He says, and he has it's a great book actually. It's called Positive Parenting. It's an excellent, excellent book about positive parenting. So he says something very simple. He says that, you know, he gives a simple mashal. I see my young child, taking out the container of milk from the refrigerator. So what happens? So the kid's a little shaky. So what's the natural parental reflexive reaction? Don't spill the milk. So right, Tversky writes, you have to understand when you say that, what you're conveying already to a child is a certain lack of confidence in their abilities. Saying is, I don't really trust you to get that out of the case. I'm telling you proactively, there's a lot of too much thought that goes into parenting. That's the big problem we have, right? You really got to think about all these things. You only hear about it years later when your kid's in therapy and then suddenly I hear. So this is a very important thing. So if I proactively, quote unquote, constructively criticize, what I'm conveying to them is I don't have full confidence in you. He takes this a step further. He says, that's when my child does something wrong. He says, sometimes parents make the mistake and they tell the child they're bad. You're really bad now. You did this, you're really bad. And he says, you never chas v'shalom tell a child that they're bad. You tell a child what you did was very bad. You never label a child as bad. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? He says, Rasha lama sake esreyecha. He says, you're a Rasha, why? Because you, why am I calling you a Rasha? Because you're doing something bad. I'm not calling you a Rasha ba'atzmusecha. I'm not telling you that you're a Rasha. I'm telling you that you're doing a maiserishus. That to go ahead and lift your hand up against another person is in maiserishus. If you were to just say Rasha, then he's labeling. When he says Rasha lama sake esreyecha, he's telling you the maiser that you're doing is a maiserishus, but not chas v'shalom labeling the person as a Rasha. So I think. For hosting. Beautiful. Next week, we're going to finish Resh Pei Beis, and then we're going to go back Al HaSeder. So we're going to go back, because we're only up to Memra Gimel. Only up to Memra Gimel. So in Mirat Hashem, we'll go back in order.
You can start right now.